Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me, Morgan Flitt. Happy, happy, happy Friday or whatever day you're listening to this, but I release it on a Friday. So happy Friday, happy weekend. I am recording this on Thanksgiving, so happy post-Thanksgiving if you are American and you celebrate. I felt like Thanksgiving this year especially was really special because I just had so much to be thankful for. I made a post about this on my Instagram, but even though 2020 was a really strange and chaotic year for pretty much everybody, I do feel like there was some beauty in 2020. I feel like I really got to take some time to slow down and appreciate my life and my loved ones and my family and my health. And I feel like I experienced a lot of positive growth and change this year. So I just felt like I had a lot to be thankful for this year. And I'm so glad that I got to celebrate Thanksgiving with just my close immediate family. So there's five of us in my immediate family and then my older brother's fiance who he lives with and also my aunt. We've been seeing each other regularly. So there were seven of us total, a very small Thanksgiving, but it was so fun. So if you celebrated, I hope you had a good time with your families. If you weren't able to go home and be with your families, nevertheless, I still hope you had a good time. I hope you stayed safe and are staying healthy and still were able to enjoy your holiday one way or another. Today's episode is the long-awaited How I Became a Spin Instructor episode. This is truly probably my most asked question. A lot of people ask me this via Instagram. People at the studio that I work for ask me this. I think a lot of people are really interested in fitness instructing, especially people who listen to this podcast. You guys know that I've had a bunch of fitness instructors on this podcast before, and it's great to hear their stories about how they became an instructor, but I want to offer my personal anecdote. And you know I've been sitting on this episode for a while now, and I just didn't know how to structure it in a way that wasn't me just blabbing on, because you know, especially when it comes to spin, I can talk about it nonstop. But I wanted to make sure this episode was valuable and had good tips, and I feel like I was able to finally jot down some notes, do a little outline for this episode to ensure that this episode has really good, valuable tips for you. So I'm really excited for this episode. Before we get into it, obviously we have to do the opening segment. So one goal I accomplished this week and one negative I turned into a positive this week. So my goal that I accomplished this week was finishing my fall semester. So I officially finished the fall semester of my third and final year of law school. Tuesday evening, I had my very last class, and it just feels so good to be so close to being done with the fall semester. I just have final exams, which I have three final exams and two papers, so not horrible. My final exams are done on the 16th, and then my papers luckily aren't due for like 2 or 3 weeks after, so I have a bunch of time, but I'm really happy that the fall semester is coming to a close. I'll be off for pretty much a month and a half. I don't go back to school until February 1st. The spring semester is all online for me, so I'll be finishing law school completely online, which is sort of bittersweet. I'm really sad that I won't be able to reunite with my friends, but I also understand it's for the health and safety of everyone. And honestly, I don't feel like I could go back to a traditional classroom setting after having the entire fall semester online, because my attention span is just like at the floor. Like, I just have no willpower to sit through a proper lecture without getting up, going to the bathroom, getting a snack. Like, Zoom classes spoil me, and it's just nice that Zoom classes, you can kind of chill and take a break when you want to. Traditional lecture classes, you can't do that. So I'm kind of happy we're not going back to the classroom, but it's also really bittersweet. But I'm so happy that my fall semester is coming to a close. That was a really big goal for me to accomplish, just even outside of this week, just overall for the past couple of months. I'm so close to the finish line of finishing law school and school in general forever. And I'm really, really excited about it. So finishing up my fall semester was a goal I accomplished this week. And as for one negative I am turning into a positive, that is gyms being closed in the area I live. So this kind of feels like deja vu. Not even kinda, it is straight up deja vu, because back when I started this podcast during the first quarantine in March, I think one of the negatives I was turning into a positive in one of my first couple episodes was gyms being closed and me doing at-home workouts and having the ability to try different workouts and focus on stuff I wanted to improve. And I feel like I'm at that point again. All of the gyms are closed, so I'm obviously not spin instructing right now. I'm not going to spin classes. I'm not going to HIIT classes or strength classes. I'm working out completely from home, but I've kind of been enjoying it. I'm not going to lie. My family just got a really nice treadmill. It's primarily for my mom because she had surgery about a month ago, and she's supposed to be doing rehab using the treadmill. But I've been using it. My dad has been using it too. And I love having a treadmill. I'm currently doing the 12-3-30 method, which if you don't know what that is, I don't know who created it. I think a girl on TikTok created it. Lauren Giraldo, I think is her name. But I've seen this trend all over social media. Basically, it's a little treadmill challenge and you walk at an incline of 12 at a speed of 3 for 30 minutes. So that might sound really easy to you. Like when I was seeing TikToks about it, I was like, this sounds so easy. Why are people saying that this is super hard? Holy shit. It is hard. It is really, really hard. You're basically walking on an incline for 30 minutes straight. You will sweat a ton. Like I am soaked after I do this, but I've been really enjoying it. I'm not like a huge treadmill person. I'm not a runner at all, so you'll never catch me running on that treadmill, but I've been really enjoying this little challenge, and I'll just pop on like a YouTube video or an episode of something I'm watching on Netflix, and I'll just watch that while I walk, and honestly, the 30 minutes goes by really quick, so I've been doing that, and I have incorporated strength training back into my workout routine, which I desperately needed to do, especially as I started picking up more classes for spin instructing. I feel like my cross training really fell off and I was really bad about cross training, and I was basically doing spin as my main form of exercise and some like Pilates work that like here and there, but strength training I just really wasn't focusing on. And now that gyms are closed and I'm not teaching right now, I've been able to pick up strength training again. I found 15 pound dumbbells at Target. I felt like I literally had won the lottery when I found them. They cost me $50, which I feel like is kind of expensive, but honestly, I was seeing dumbbells go for more than that on like Facebook Marketplace and stuff, and those were already used. So I found a brand new pair at Target for like $50, and those are 15 pounds, and then my dad has 20s and 25s. So I've just been using those. I've been training upper body and lower body and also abs, and I've been really enjoying it. I'm feeling a lot stronger. My strength, especially my upper body strength, is something I really want to improve on. Leg strength is a piece of cake for me. I think because I naturally have long and muscular legs. I was a dancer growing up. I was a rower in high school, so all the sports and activities I did growing up always used my legs. So my legs have never been like a struggle for me when it comes to strength, but my upper body is super weak. Like my boyfriend literally makes fun of me for how weak my upper body is. So that's something I'm really trying to improve on right now. So that's one negative I turned into a positive this week. Gyms are closed, but at-home workouts are back and better than ever. Okay, so let's get into the topic of today's episode, which I know that's what you came here for. And this is my story of how I became a spin instructor. So when I first recorded this episode a couple weeks ago, the mistake I made was that I just blabbed on and on about my personal story of becoming a spin instructor, which I think is important, but it's honestly a story that I've told so many times on this podcast. And if you've been a longtime listener, you're probably like, can you shut up and not tell this story anymore? But I do want to briefly just set a backstory so I can establish the details and my relationship with the studio that I teach at, because that plays a really large role in why I became a spin instructor and how I became a spin instructor. So y'all know that I am in law school. My first year of law school, it was March 2019. So I was about halfway through my first year of law school. I just felt like crap. My health and fitness was really, really bad. And all I was doing was going to school. And I just needed something to get me out of the house, to get me active. And I followed an influencer. I still follow her. Her name is Tori DeSimone. She owns a spin studio in Philly. And so she always posted videos of her spin classes, and they looked so fun. So I Googled spin classes near me. I found this little old studio called Revolution Buffalo, and that's pretty much where my story started. I took my very first spin class there. I remember it was so hard. I couldn't keep the beat. It was disastrous, but I was obsessed, and it was something I really wanted to get better at. So from that very first spin class at Revolution Buffalo, I'm going to call it Rev from this point forward, because that's what pretty much everybody that goes to the studio calls it. But from my very first class at Rev, I was just obsessed with spin and wanting to get better at it. And I became a regular client pretty much from that first class. So I became really obsessed with becoming a better rider and feeling confident enough to start riding front row. And I was attending all of the classes I could attend, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I definitely became a pretty good rider. And probably about 3 months into being a regular client at Rev, I started to have the idea of possibly wanting to become a spin instructor. At that point, I think I was starting to sit front row, which if you take spin classes, you know that sitting front row can kind of be a big deal. People who tend to choose to sit in the front row are like pretty good riders. They can keep the beat really well. People around them will follow them. So sitting front row is kind of a big deal. And I was doing that at that point. I was taking a lot of instructors' classes, and they were recognizing me and shouting me out in class and stuff. And I just felt like I was so obsessed with spin at that point, and I idolized so many of the instructors that I was taking. And I thought to myself, okay, like, I'm a pretty decent rider, and I feel like I could take the jump into being an instructor. So at Rev, there's three owners, three female kick-ass owners. They're the best: Amanda, Rachel, and Colleen. I'm closest with Amanda, so I remember reaching out to her, and I kept it pretty general, and I was just like, hey, I'm interested in becoming an instructor. I didn't say at Rev specifically because I didn't want to make her feel pressured or anything. I was just seeking like general advice on becoming a spin instructor, and honestly, I just wanted to become an instructor so badly that if Rev didn't have a position for me, it wasn't going to be the end of the world, and I felt okay moving on to a different studio. In hindsight, that was an area I went wrong in, and I'm going to elaborate more on that in a little. But I reached out to Amanda, and she basically just said, you know, we don't have a position here right now, but if you are interested, no matter what studio you plan on teaching at, it's really important to just be a regular rider. Make sure you have relationships with the instructors, and just make sure that you're taking classes and showing you're dedicated. So at that point, once I knew Rev didn't have a position for me, I started to look at other studios. So this was late summer 2019. So I started to look at other studios in the area, and I came across this one studio. I'm not going to name drop it. It actually is closed down now because of COVID, unfortunately. So you could Google it and put two and two together, but I'm not going to name drop. But I did find this other studio, and I reached out to them and said, hey, you know, I'm really interested in becoming a spin instructor. I see that you guys do rhythmic spin, which is the type of spin I really like. That's riding to the beat of the music and usually incorporating a little bit of choreography. And the owner reached back out to me, and she was like, hey, come take a class and I'll talk to you after. So I went to the studio, took a class, met up with the owner after, talked, and we seemed to hit it off and get along really well. And she pretty much hired me on the spot, and she was like, okay, if you just want to maybe do an audition for me and you feel comfortable becoming an instructor right away, let's do it. So I did a audition for this other studio and their owner, and she said I did really well. And she was like, I want to put you on the schedule starting next week if you're comfortable. So at that point, I was so ecstatic that I found a position and I said yes. I only lasted at that studio for a little over a month, and I am going to elaborate on that a little bit later, but just keep that detail in the back of your head. So I left that studio and I went back to Rev and started regularly going there again. And I really, really became set on becoming an instructor at Rev because I just had such a great personal relationship with a lot of the instructors there. And I just loved Rev's culture and their vibe and what they represented. And I just really wanted to become an instructor there. So I decided when I left the other studio that I was instructing at and I went back to Rev as a regular client that I was going to work my ass off and become an instructor there. And I am, finally. It definitely took some time, which I'm going to go into in a little bit, but that's just my personal little story about how I became a spin instructor. It's the very condensed version. If you want the details, DM me on Instagram and I can definitely give you the details. But now I want to get into some tangible tips and takeaways that I feel like are really useful if you are listening to this and interested in becoming a spin instructor. So the first tip I have to give, and this is a really, really important one. It's super, super vital that you form relationships with instructors at the studio you're going to and you're dedicated. So I'm talking about this in terms of if you already have a studio in mind that you want to teach for. Obviously, if you just want to teach at like a box gym or a Soul Cycle or a cycle bar, that's kind of a little bit different because those are more commercialized and their hiring process is way different than a local boutique fitness studio. But if you want to teach at a local boutique fitness studio like the one I teach at, it's really important to be a dedicated client and have good relationships with instructors there. I felt like this was a big benefit for me when I finally had my audition at Rev because the instructors and the owners that were present at that audition already knew who I was. They knew I was a dedicated client. They knew how much I loved Rev, and they knew I was a good rider. And I felt like I just had a lot of instructors on my side who were ready to vouch for me. And when I got hired at Rev, Amanda said something to me that really stuck with me. And it was something along the lines of like, you're a great rider, which is obviously really important when you want to be a spin instructor. But I also really fit into Rev's culture. And I have a lot of great relationships with the other instructors and staff there already, which is even more important than being a great rider. Because if you don't fit into that studio's culture, you're not going to thrive as an instructor there. And this is where the story of my old studio comes in. So I just wanted to be a spin instructor so badly the summer of 2019 when I found that other studio and taught there for a hot second. And this is nothing against that studio or their instructors or their owner, but it honestly was on me. I was a stranger to that studio. I wasn't a dedicated client. I didn't know the clientele. I didn't know the other instructors. I really felt like an outsider. And I'm the type of person, like when I feel like an outsider, I won't make the effort to make myself feel included. So I was a complete stranger to the other instructors, and I had a really hard time forming bonds and relationships with clients, which is really, really important as an instructor. You want to make sure you are connecting with your riders and forming those personal relationships, because that will be the biggest reason why someone wants to consistently take your classes. And I just was lacking that at that first studio I taught at, and my heart just wasn't with that studio. My heart was truly with Rev. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but if you go to a boutique fitness place, you'll know what I mean. Like, you will just stand by that studio no matter what. And my heart just wasn't with that first studio that I was teaching at. So this actually leads into my second tip, which is don't be afraid to be picky about where you instruct. So like I said, if you want to work at like a chain gym or a SoulCycle or a cycle bar or I don't know, any like commercialized studio or gym, I don't really have a lot of great tips for you. And I feel like you kind of have a lot more options if that's the path you want to take, because that's just a whole different culture and hiring process, and it's a lot more relaxed. I feel like if you want to work in the boutique fitness area, it's really important to be picky. Like I said, studio culture matters so much, and if you don't fit into that studio, it's going to show, and you're going to have a really hard time forming bonds with instructors. You're going to have a really hard time forming bonds with clients. Like I remember at the first studio I taught at, sometimes when I had to prep a playlist or go and teach a class, I was dreading it. I was like, ugh, what did I get myself into? And I have never, ever felt that way with Rev. Like whenever I have the opportunity to sub or pick up another class at Rev, I jump on it because I just love teaching there so much. It really doesn't feel like work to me. It just comes really naturally to me and I just really love it. And it doesn't feel like work. And at that first studio, because I didn't fit into the studio culture, I just really didn't enjoy being an instructor there. So don't be afraid to be picky. Don't just jump on the first opportunity that you have. Make sure you really research the studio, research their instructors, what their class formats are like, what their vibe is like, what their culture is like. Take some classes there, get a sense of what the studio is like before you jump into a position there. Another tip I have, this is more of a piece of advice, but know that it's going to take a while to become an instructor. This is definitely a journey. If you've ever listened to my episodes that I've had with other guests who have talked about their journey to becoming a fitness instructor, we've always talked about that it's not a very linear journey. There's a lot of ups and downs and it takes a lot of time. So to give you a reference of like a time frame for me to become an instructor at Rev, it took me, probably a year and a half, because I originally approached Amanda July of 2019, and then I went and taught at that other studio the fall of 2019, then I came back to Rev, and then I was super, super close to having an audition, and then COVID happened. But then I finally had my audition in August of 2020. So about a year, a little over a year and a half of being a client at Rev, and it definitely took some time, but you just have to like keep your head down, be a good consistent rider, and just keep grinding and show that you're dedicated, and the work will pay off. Trust me when I say that. So now to get into some more practical tips, I get asked a lot about certification. So certification kind of depends on your studio. I know the first studio that I taught at, the owner didn't care if I had a certification, so I didn't get one. At Rev, I am required to have some sort of certification. So there's a lot of different companies that offer certifications. I am certified through Schwinn. Schwinn is a really popular cycling bike manufacturer. So they're pretty well known in the cycling world. I feel like most studios and gyms know what Schwinn is and would accept it. And it's honestly on like the cheaper end of certifications. I did the online version and it took me a couple hours to do. And I think it was like $200. So that's like a good baseline certification. I know some people at my studio are certified in Beat Boss, which is specifically a rhythmic spin certification, and I'll eventually do that one because I am a rhythmic spin instructor and I'm pretty good about like riding to the beat, and I am very, very familiar with like prepping a playlist based on BPM and choreo and all of that. But I definitely want to get that certification just to add it on to my fitness resume, I feel like. But I don't know, certifications, there's honestly so many out there. I feel like it's a good idea to be certified. I feel like it kind of gives you a leg up over other candidates. When I did my audition at Rev this past August, most people were certified. I know some people weren't. And I don't think Rev like wouldn't not hire someone if they weren't certified. They probably would just ask them to get certified once they got hired. But I do feel like if you take that initiative to get certified on your own, even before your audition, it shows how serious you are about becoming an instructor. So I always think it's a good idea. It's definitely an investment. Like I said, I did one of the cheaper certifications, but I looked into other certifications and those ones cost a couple hundred dollars. So just be smart about the investment. I feel like a Schwinn is honestly a really good basic certification. Rev accepted it with no problems. Honestly, I feel like it's a good one, but there are other options out there. I know when it comes to a company like SoulCycle, SoulCycle doesn't care if you're certified because they just train you in-house and sort of certify you that way. But I feel like if you're doing it for a local boutique fitness studio, they're probably going to want you to get certified. So that's something I'd explore with the studio itself. But I do feel like if you go ahead and take that initiative yourself to get certified, it shows how interested you are and how badly you want to be an instructor, in my opinion. And the last tip I have is about auditions. So getting an audition can be super exciting, but also super nerve-wracking. I remember when I had my audition back in August, I was a nervous wreck for the few days leading up to it. And it was so bad because I had my MPRE that same day as my audition. So I took the MPRE in the morning, which if you don't know what that is, it's the multi-state professional... What is it? The multi-state professional examination or something? I don't know. I don't know what the acronym stands for. That makes me sound like a really bad law student. But basically, it's an ethics exam that you have to sit for while you're in law school. It's really important. Most states require you to like get a certain score on this exam. And so you actually have to study for it and take it pretty seriously. And I was like more invested in my audition that day than the MPRE exam. Luckily, I passed the exam, thank God. But I took the exam that morning and then had my Rev audition that evening, I believe. So yeah, like I said, having an audition is super exciting, but it's also super nerve-wracking. So your studio or whoever you're trying out for will probably give you audition guidelines. I had to do a couple songs for Rev in front of the instructors and owners that were there and also the other people that were auditioning. So I did have like a little bit of a crowd, which I think is good because if you are not auditioning in front of people, it's really hard to sort of gauge like where your energy is at as an instructor. So it was good to have people there, if I'm being honest. But I feel like auditions can be really nerve-wracking for people. I feel like I had a little bit of a leg up because I had been an instructor for a hot second last fall, so I knew what it was like to get up there and get on the mic and lead a class. And that is where I think a lot of people struggle when they do an audition. They really focus on the music and the choreo that they're doing, which don't get me wrong, that's really important, but that's only a part of the audition. I think a lot of people tend to not prep about the idea of being on a microphone and the energy and how they are projecting while they are speaking and doing their audition. So getting on a mic, I feel like makes or breaks someone's audition. I feel like a lot of people kind of crack under pressure when they get on the mic because it's really weird to hear yourself. If you've ever heard yourself on a video, you know what I'm talking about. It's just really intimidating to hear your own voice over a loudspeaker like that. So if you are able at all to get your hands on a microphone and practice with it, please, please, please do that. Trust me, you'll feel so much more comfortable and relaxed when you get up for your audition and put that headset on. If you can't practice with a mic, just kind of know that that is something that you should focus on during your audition. Just knowing like, okay, when I put this headset on, it might intimidate me a little, but I don't want to let that get to me. I don't want that to affect my audition and the energy that I'm giving during my audition. So just have that in the back of your mind. Trust me, when you get on that mic, I feel like a lot of people get really nervous once they hear themselves. So just know that that's a thing. Be ready for that. That also leads me into my next point, which is make sure that you're showing a lot of energy during your audition. cueing, choreo, and riding to the beat and all of that is obviously really important during your audition. But if you're just up there showing no energy, showing like you're not having any fun, and your voice is just like your normal talking voice, it's not going to be good. Trust me. You want to find your instructor voice. If you're an instructor, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has an instructor voice. It's kind of like a more, how do I describe it? Like, an instructor voice is a more intense version of your voice. If you are able to look up a spin class on YouTube, you'll know what I mean. Like, an instructor's voice is so different from their normal speaking voice. I feel like, especially as women, women tend to talk like very nasally, very like much in their head, but your instructor voice, you really want to dig deep and like get into your chest and your gut because you want to project. I feel like female voices tend to get lost between the mic and the music, and you can sound very nasally during your audition, which you don't want to sound like that. You want to be projecting and you want to be showing a lot of energy. Have fun up there, because if you're not having fun up there, the people that you're auditioning for aren't going to think you're fun, and they're going to be like, why would I put this person in front of a class, and the class is going to think they're so boring. So make sure you're having fun. Have a ton of good energy. You really want to stand out and be unique. That is pretty much everything I wanted to discuss in today's episode. I really hope you guys found this episode helpful. I feel like I kind of just scratched the surface. I could talk about my process and my journey to becoming a spin instructor all day, and I have a million different tips that I can give you guys. So if you are interested in talking a little bit more about this, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at MorganFlitHealth. Also, follow me while you're on there. I've been really upping my content game lately, I feel like. I'm really proud of how active I've been over on that Instagram. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. I upload episodes every single Friday. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, I'd really appreciate a 5-star review if you have time to just go on the app and give me a quick little review. It helps Apple market my podcast to more audiences. I love you guys so much. Happy, happy Friday, or whatever day you're listening to this. I hope you have a good rest of your day, night, whenever you're listening to this. And I'll talk to you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.